It's not only news, it's science breakthroughs. Tomorrow's technologies. Advanced medical techniques. It's a glimpse into the future where we discuss artificial intelligence, earth and energy, enhanced humans, future society, health and medicine, space, robots and machines. Welcome to Science Bites with Joe and Craig.
Today, August 13, 2020, what species cleans themselves before entering their home, which uses chemicals to disinfect, or restricts access to high traffic areas? If you say humans, you're wrong. We are talking about ants. We regard these creatures as a nuisance. Long before social distancing became a household term for us, ants were practicing their own version to ward off disease in their nest.
Ants have inhabited the Earth for more than 100 million years and can be found almost anywhere on the planet. Scientific estimates indicate that there are about 20,000 different species of ants. For this reason, ants have been called Earth's most successful species.
Just like humans, ants build many different types of homes. Some ants build a simple little mound out of dirt and sand. Other ants use small sticks mixed with earth and sand to make more durable mounds that offer protection from them in the rain.
Western harvester ants make a small mound on the top and then they tunnel up to 15 feet straight down to hibernate during the winter. When I was a kid, I had several ant farms, and being the little nerd I was, I also kept a detailed journal of their habits and drew pictures of what I saw. I had discovered ant mounds consist of many chambers connected by tunnels. Science later informed me that the different cavities offer nurseries, food storage, and resting places for the worker ants. As a side note, army ants don't make a home at all, but travel in large groups searching for food.
What makes ants so fascinating is their effectiveness to prevent epidemics within their colonies, despite their close living quarters and massive communities. In fact, epidemics and sick colonies are rarely found in the wild. As human societies are warding off the generation's biggest pandemic to date, we should take a closer look at how our fellow inhabitants deal with infection and outbreaks.
Scientists have observed many species of ants' disease-curbing social practices, including separating groups by role within their nest, sanitizing themselves and their living quarters, and mixing tree resin with their poison to kill pathogenic spores.
Ants may have a few things to teach us humans about giving each other enough space, especially during a pandemic. A 2018 study found when the colonies of the garden ants were exposed to a pathogen, they changed their behavior and response. Ants already divided themselves into two groups. Workers take care of the family inside the nest and workers that hunt outside.
After researchers exposed ants in 11 colonies to infectious spores, the ants in each colony began to interact less with ants from other groups and more with one another. The groups effectively became more separate, which prevented the spread of the spores. What's more, after the researchers performed another experiment with 11 more colonies, the ants protected what the study calls high-value individuals, the queen and younger worker ants. The more numerous ants that had low levels of exposure to the spores showed a heightened immune response to the infection, much like humans do with a vaccine.
We can learn more from ants than just their social distance ways. A study published in the Journal of Evolutionary Biology described how ants use their own version of cleaning and sanitizing one another. Another study published in 2018 found ants adjusted to sanitary care based on the nest mate's level of infection.
Not only do nest mates groom themselves before entering the nest, but they also groom each other, a practice known as allogrooming, physically plucking potentially infectious particles from their mates' bodies. When grooming a nest mate that was exposed to more than one pathogen, the ants adjusted their grooming technique, increasing the use of their own antimicrobial poison and reducing physical contact. Ants left with low levels of spores in their bodies developed higher immunity to the fungal spores in another version of an ant inoculation against disease.
Ants also use chemicals to prevent their entry of pathogen before the nest even gets established. Many ant species produce a poisonous substance within their venom gland called formic acid. This usually is used to fight off predators. Much like humans, like moving into a clean apartment, ants use the poisonous acid to sanitize new living area before they move in.
In addition to grooming themselves and each other, ants have even more strategies to fight disease. They collect tree resin from outside the nest, which has antimicrobial properties, and place it near the family. But rather than using each substance alone, they mix the two within their nest to create an even more powerful antifungal agent.
Just like ants, some of the most powerful tools against the spread of disease are materials found in nature. With our ants as a guide, scientists can evaluate the efficiency of strategies like social distancing, sanitizing, and even using compounds from Mother Nature.
Some new research used ants as a model for so-called super spreaders. By observing the insects and selecting those that have the most contact with others, this type of model might be used in the future to help identify potential super spreaders in a community and vaccinate or immunize them first. Some tactics from ants, of course, won't work for us, but the point is not for humans to emulate ants, but to do what humans do best, pick and apply the best parts of nature for our own use.
We're going to take our short break. When we return, we are going to talk about fast radio bursts.
50 years ago, we went to the moon. We called it Apollo.
What many people don't know is that Apollo had a twin.
She was a woman named Artemis, goddess of the moon.
We are returning to the moon.
As a new generation of explorers.
This time to stay.
And to prepare to achieve humanity's next giant leap of sending the first human missions to Mars.
We believe our course will redefine what is possible.
That we will discover life-saving,
earth-changing science.
And that the challenges ahead will inspire generations.
This is our manifest.
For all who wondered if we could return.
For all who dreamed of pressing beyond.
This is your calling.
We go for all of America.
We go. We go as the Artemis generation.
We go.
Welcome back. In 2007, astronomers digging through data of the past 6 years found a very strong and brief burst of radio emission coming from an unidentified source in space. It introduced us to a new class of objects dubbed fast radio bursts, known as FRBs.
The radio portion of the nickname is because the emission is detected by radio telescopes surveying the sky at radio wavelengths. They are called bursts because the signals disappear as quickly as they appear, without warning and, so far, without explanation. Since 2007, astronomers have added 17 more bursts to the list of known FRBs. However, their origins are still a bit of a mystery because of their defining characteristics. The very reasons they are so interesting also makes them challenging to study.
Signals such as these have baffled scientists for years and typically originate from beyond the Milky Way. Their origins are unknown. Some think the energetic waves are the results of the cosmic explosions, while others have controversially suggested these signals are sent by aliens.
You know, Joe, that time we heard or listened to the fast radio burst, it did sound like aliens talking, didn't it?
I know.
That was on our radio show.
Yep.
It was pretty freaky stuff.
It did. And we played that for people to hear.
Yeah, it was freaky. This year, scientists got a break and traced mysterious radio signals detected on Earth to a dead star within our own Milky Way galaxy. The millisecond-long burst of radiation was emitted by a magnetar, a type of star with an extremely powerful magnetic field, roughly 14,000 light-years away. This is the first ever observational connection between magnetars and fast radio bursts. It truly is a major discovery and helps to bring the origin of these mysterious phenomena into focus. FRBs are intense pulses of radio waves, as we discussed, that last no longer than the blink of an eye. But get this, they produce the energy of millions of suns in the space of that blink of an eye.
More than 100 FRBs have been discovered to date. Only a handful has repeated, and fewer still in any predictable pattern. This makes them notoriously difficult to study. The scientists found that the burst from the Magnus star was weaker than the FRBs detected from the outside of the galaxy.
Which is weird. You would think that it would be stronger since it's right there. Magnus stars are a type of neutron star, collapsed remnants of stars that sport powerful magnetic fields. Sometimes their magnetic fields can warp the star's shape and trigger eruptions of huge bursts of radiation in what scientists call starquake. Very few starquakes have ever been detected, and fewer still have been caught emitting any type of radio waves.
Though the evidence now points strongly in favor of Magnus stars being the source of all FRBs, the study is not conclusive. It's possible other stellar phenomena may also lead to the eruption of the mysterious signals.
That could mean that the dying embers of huge stars, black holes, or something never before detected by humans. At least one scientist has suggested the signals were produced by alien spaceships. However, the majority of experts disagree with this theory. Whatever their origins, FRBs have the potential to be a new tool that we can use to understand the structure of matter in the universe. The radio bursts were first discovered in 2007, so even small steps towards understanding their source means big excitement for astronomers.
We're going to take a break. When we return, we have a quick bite for you, the world's largest fusion reactor.
What makes a rainbow bend? Where does the universe end? To know the world from A to Z.
Discover science and technology.
Where is the dinosaur? What's on the ocean floor? To know the world from A to Z.
Astronomy, biology, chemistry, zoology, science and technology.
It's fun, you'll see. Why is the sun so warm? What makes a winter storm? And what's a quadruped? Why is the planet Mars red? You'll find there's lots to know, and exploring as you go, to know the world from A to Z.
Discover science and technology. Astronomy, biology, chemistry, zoology, science and technology. It's fun, you'll see.
A public service message from the National Science Foundation.
Hi, I'm David Boreanaz with a personal message for any returning vets that may be struggling to cope. There's help, and it's just a phone call away. The Veterans Crisis Line is staffed with experienced professionals who know your struggles. All of us know there's no greater sacrifice than the service to our country. Your service is important. Your life is important. For vets and their families, the Veterans Crisis Line is here to help 24 hours a day. Please call.
Welcome back for our Quick Bite. Last month, engineers started construction on the world's largest nuclear fusion project in southern France, with operations planned to begin in 2025.
You know, Joe, just as a side note, last week we talked about France as well, and that was for the largest X-ray machine.
Right.
All right, so the project is called ITER. It's an international collaborative effort between 35 countries with enormous ambitions to prove the feasibility of fusion energy with a gigantic magnet device called a tokamak, as per the project's official website. Enabling the exclusive use of clean energy will be a miracle for our planet. Fusion power, in theory, works by harnessing the energy released by two lighter atomic nuclei, fusing them to form a heavier nucleus and turning it into electricity.
Proven to be economical, and if the machine can generate more energy than the amount put in to kickstart the process, the technology could lay the groundwork for an entirely new way of generating nearly unlimited clean energy on a commercial scale. Fusion power would be far safer than conventional fission nuclear energy, since there is no risk of a meltdown or leftover nuclear waste.
But if in the last 6 decades of fusion research are anything to go by, it remains an elusive way of generating net energy. The extremely hot plasma inside the fusion reactors is notoriously difficult to predict and control. To get an idea of how hot, the plasma would reach 10 times the temperature of the center of our sun. The final reactor will weigh 23,000 tons, including 3,000 tons of superconducting magnets connected to each other by 200 kilometers of superconducting cables, all which have to be kept at cryo-cooled down to negative 269 degrees Celsius. That is cold.
Very cold. The team behind the ITER project is optimistic about the test they'll be able to carry out using the massive reactor. By producing self-heating plasma, the team is expecting to generate 10 times the heat than the input amount. In other words, the team wants to generate 500 megawatts, just shy of the output of the smallest active American nuclear power plant, from an input of 50 megawatts.
ITER may be a massive international effort to make fusion energy a reality, but it's not the only one. A large number of fusion startups in the U.S. and abroad are trying to turn it into a commercially viable source of energy as well. And as a side note, Joe, with heat that much from like the center of the sun, how could that be any better than a meltdown?
I know.
That's... Unless I'm missing something. That's really hot. Like, what do you do if something happens?
That's very hot. That brings us to the close of another show. You can find all our past shows on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Alexa, Spotify, and many other platforms, or just visit our website at MySciencebites.com.
Joe and I are grateful to you, our listeners, for sharing our podcast with your family and friends. If you're new to our show, please subscribe or follow. It really helps move up our ranking so more people can find us. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week with a brand new show.